And with that, I am proud to say that I'm part of this fraternity that has been setting fashion trends for the last 10,000 years. And we never ask for anyone's opinions while we're setting those fashion trends either. You know, I remember, it seems like just yesterday, but it was quite a few years ago, standing there in my short little running shorts with my knee-high tube socks, wearing my Keds, looking at my dad wearing baggy cargo shorts with short socks, just thinking, what is he thinking? And then I walked by the mirror yesterday. I am my dad's son. You know, we end up like our fathers much more than we realize or much more than we care to admit. Dads have a vast and a huge influence. Dads cast a long shadow for better or for worse. Our fathers shape us, but they don't have to define us. Every one of us wants to hear from our dad, well done, I'm proud of you. Every human longs for that. There's just something about dad. It's been said that you can judge how well a person understands Christianity by seeing how what they make of the thought of God being their father. You see, your grasp of Christianity will never be better than your understanding of God as your heavenly father. Now, as we talk about the heavenly father, don't let your earthly father become the image through which you see God. He's bigger and he's better. We need to let scripture paint a picture of what the perfect father, our heavenly father, is like. Because again, our understanding of Christianity will never be better than our understanding of God being our father. So what is the perfect father like? What's his motivation in fathering? And what's his family like? These are three things I want to look at today. And honestly, this is just something that over the years is just in reading the scriptures, just writing down thoughts as they come. And this is kind of a distillation of what it means that God is our father. Because again, our understanding of Christianity will never be better than our understanding of God as our father. Why would we talk about God, our father? Because God as father is a theme which is carried all through scripture. And it sets the God of the Bible apart from any other religion. A loving heavenly father. So for all of us, male, female, young, old, married, single, I pray that you would take away that you can trust your heavenly father. And that he is an awesome God who is worthy of your worship. For earthly fathers, I pray that you would see a role model here. But when perfection's a role model, that can get pretty discouraging. But have that balance of saying, yes, this is my role model, but understanding when I don't measure up to the bar, there's grace. All of us fall short compared to the perfect Heavenly Father. Why isn't there a Dad 101 course? You ever think about that? We all say that parenting is really important. But we'll go to school, we'll learn about math, we'll learn about science, we'll do reading, we'll do arithmetic, we'll do all this sort of stuff. But for parenting, we just say, okay, you're on your own, go for it. But parenting shapes the next generation. Parenting can change the world. So where do you learn about the Father? It's in the Bible. Not what pop culture says. Because pop culture's image of father changes over time. A few decades ago, father knew best. Nowadays, when you watch kid shows, father knows nothing. Father is at best a benevolent buffoon. That's not where we want to be taking our cues from. So what is the perfect heavenly father like? Well, the perfect son gives us a clue. In Matthew chapter 6, well-known passage here, Jesus is launching into what we call the Lord's Prayer. His followers, his closest friends, were saying to him, hey, how do you pray? Teach us how to pray. What should we pray about? And Jesus said this, Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. There's a lot there about the perfect Father that we can all learn from. First of all, in looking at the ultimate Father, our heavenly Father, God is far and he is near. He is above us, yet he's with us. He manages the whole universe, but he wants to be intimate with us. What an amazing God. Every other religion tends to get, well, you can have this one huge, awesome, powerful God, but he doesn't like you all that much, and you better not get him upset. Or it's, hey, well, you know, God's just like us, and, you know, what goes on in the heavens is really just a heavenly soap opera. But the Bible has this incredible balance of a God who is way above us, yet he also stoops down to be with us. He wants to be with us. You know, in the training ground, we're going through the book of Exodus, which is the early days of Israel as a nation. They're trekking through the desert. And one of the themes you see in there over and over is that God says, I want to be with you. Just a week or so ago, we talked about the tabernacle, a place which at the time it was a temporary one. It was a tent where God said, my very special presence is going to be right here in the middle of your camp. I want to be with you. I want to walk with you. What's one of the last things Jesus said to his followers? I'll be with you always to the end of the age. God wants to be with us. But he holds the planets in orbit. He's in charge of the whole universe. He's behind current events. He does things and sees things that we have no clue about. This is amazing. He's far and he's near. God combines both. Hallowed be your name. Holy. Holy is a misunderstood word. You know, the first thing that comes to our mind often when we think of holy is someone who's uptight or nasty or looks at you and says, I'm better than you, I'm better than you. But that's nothing what holiness is. Holiness means to be separate from, to stand out. And the Heavenly Father stands out. There's nothing that we can find in this world, in this life, that is greater than him. There's no other God worth worshiping. He is up there. He is holy. For earthly dads, he calls us to be holy. He wants us to be someone that our kids would look up to. Yes, we should get in the sand pits and play with our kids. Yes, we should wrestle around with them. But I pray that for every dad, we'd aspire to be something that our kid would want to look up to and say, I want to be like him. Hallowed be your name. And then the phrase Father, our Father. It's close. It's intimate. In other parts of the Bible, God says, you can call me Abba, which in the culture is a term of endearment. Daddy. The God of the universe, the God who's in charge of everything, says, you can come sit on my lap. Tell me what's going on in your life. I care about you. You know, when dads do good things, it doesn't make the news. But when a dad hurts his family, we're all shocked. No one likes a deadbeat dad because there's something inside us that says we know that dads ought to be good, that dads ought to look out for their children. Why? Because that's the image of God. God is the perfect Heavenly Father. He cares deeply about his children. He's never going to do anything malicious to us. He will never neglect us. He is our Heavenly Father, and he is perfect. This is what he's like. He's far and he's near. And then he knows us. You know, maybe you work for a big corporation, and maybe you're an entry-level position in it. You know full well that you can never go to the CEO's office and say, hey, I was thinking, I had an idea here. hey, you know, would you be willing to give me a pay raise? Hey, what about doing this in the lunchroom? You just know you wouldn't do it. But here's little us in the scheme of the universe, and we can go right to the Creator and say, Heavenly Father, I've been thinking about this. He wants us to do it. No CEO's like that. But the CEO of the whole universe says, come to me. Let's talk. And you know something? I know you. Yep, I'm keeping the planets going in orbit. But I know what's going on in each of your lives. I know your hurts. I know your joys. I know the things you long for. And I care about you more than you'll ever know. You may think, oh, this is just small what I'm thinking about. But God says, I want to know. I care about you. But you know, when we come to God with our request, it's not like we're giving him new news. We're not going to surprise God when we say, hey, Lord, I would like this. Because God already knows everything. It says right here, he knows what you need. Now, unfortunately for kids, what we need is very often different than what we want. And I am thankful that there have been times that I've asked God for something and he said, nope. Because as I look back over time, I say, you know, Lord, I'm glad you didn't answer that the way I wanted. He knows what we need. Earthly fathers, we need to know what our children need. Don't just give them stuff out of guilt because you don't spend enough time with them. Say, here, take this, and they'll like, you know, you'll have more than your friends. Our kids need us. Take time to study our children. They're all wired differently. You know, there is no such thing as one-size-fits-all parenting. So often we want a formula. Say, if I just do this, I just do that. But our kids are very different. I have four children. And some of them, I can say, hey, don't go near the oven. It'll burn you. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. Oh, I shouldn't have gone near the oven. That's all I need to say. With others, hey, don't go near the oven. Hey, I said, don't go near the oven. Hey, are you not listening? Oh, did you tell me not to listen to the oven? It works differently. We need to take the time to know our children. But the amazing thing is, the God of the universe knows each of us. He knows that some are introverts, some are extroverts. He knows what we like. He knows what we really need. He knows us. We should never get tired of hearing that. Our view of God is way too small. He knows us. The perfect Father, our Heavenly Father, is full of integrity. God doesn't call us to do what he hasn't yet done. The Bible says, hey, be holy because I am holy. And that's in Leviticus, and it's repeated in the New Testament as well. Be holy, for I am holy. God doesn't just say, do as I say. God says, do as I do. Jesus put it this way in John chapter 13. A new commandment I'm giving you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. So also you're to love one another. Jesus didn't just say, hey guys, love one another. He said, love one another as I have loved you. Dads, our actions probably carry more than our words. Our kids can quickly tell if, oh, that's just dad's religious talk. Or say, no, he's living it. There's something serious about this. The perfect father will do as he tells his children to do. And that really needs to be the standard we set for ourselves as the earthly fathers. Integrity. The Bible says that we're to fear the Lord our God. And the Lord our God, he is one. What it's talking about there is if you were to cut God open, he'd be the same thing all the way through. Our kids need to see that dads are consistent. and that your character is the same, whether you're in the office, whether you're with your friends, whether you're coaching a team, whether you're at home. And when our kids see that we're consistent, that gives them great stability. And it makes our faith very attractive. That's our perfect Father. He's far and he's near. Perfect tension. He knows us. And he operates with complete integrity. What motivates the perfect Father? What drives the perfect Father? How can we be better dads in dealing with our children? The Bible says this in Psalm 103, speaking of God. It says right here, and I'm going to start in verse 13. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it's gone, and his place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. What do we see about our Heavenly Father here? Compassion drives him. Compassion. And this cuts me like a knife, because compassion is not always my motivator. But what if we as dad treated our children with compassion all the way through? To be compassionate means to be merciful to. It literally means to have pity on. And here we see why. God is from everlasting to everlasting. But he looks at us and he sees we're just like the grass in the field. It won't take long before we'll sprout up, and then off we go. We die. God is compassionate. You know, I coach Little League sports, and it's always painful to watch a coach or a parent run a kid down. How could you do that? That was a stupid play. You know you should have done this. What is wrong with you? Now, how many kids have ever become better athletes when that is the message that they have heard? It doesn't work on the sports field. It doesn't work in the home. Dads, our words carry huge weight. It is amazing how many people I will talk to in adulthood. And I'm not going to get into whether or not it's right or wrong that they blame their dad, but the fact is they remember specific things. Well, my dad said this to me, it just cut me to the core. Or, you know, my dad said this to me, and I knew, hey, I can do this. Dads, our words can have huge impact for better or for worse. And if compassion drives us, then our words are going to be uplifting to our kids. A friend I coach with put it to me this way. He said, you know, our kids are getting all kinds of messages from the culture. They're told they're not pretty enough, they're not skinny enough, they're not athletic enough, they're not good enough. He said, when we coach, what if we emphasize what they're doing right? Yeah, we'll point out their mistakes and we'll fix them. But we'll emphasize what they're doing right. And that makes a lot of sense to me. But you know, when you read the scriptures, read the New Testament, and you will see that God always refers to his people, even when we're doing the dumbest things, as saints, beloved, you who are holy. God didn't act like a bad coach on the sideline ranting at us. Only once in scripture, and it's the book of James, once in the New Testament, where God calls his people sinners. The rest of the time, he refers to them by what he is making us. That's amazing. God affirms us. In the book of Hebrews, speaking of Jesus, it says, Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brothers. That's amazing. I give Jesus reason to be ashamed of me every day. But that is not how the perfect Father looks at his people. He refers to us by what we will be through his power. Earthly dads, what if we used our words to encourage our children and to build them up? Our kids are going to mess up. But you know something? When our kids mess up, their peers will let them know. The advertising world will let them know. They don't need your voice telling them how they've messed up as well. Help them to learn from it and to move on. Give them a vision for what they can be and what they will be, a under your fatherhood. You know, in the book of Ephesians, it tells fathers not to frustrate their children. Do you know that there's no command like that in the Bible for mothers? So God knows how dads think. He knows the way we're wired. And that our natural tendency is to go, what were you thinking doing that? God knows what dads are like. And so we need to take our cue from the Bible. No kid becomes better by being run down by his dad. Lift them up. Encourage them. Don't frustrate them. We see also in this passage in verse 17, the steadfast love of God. In the Hebrew, this is a word which obviously only shows up in the Old Testament, but it's unique to God, the steadfast love of God. Some Bible translations call it the loving kindness of God. But if you were to put it in modern lingo, it would be the never stopping, never quitting, undying, I love you no matter what love that God says he has for his children. And our kids need to hear that from earthly dads. No matter what, I will love you. You will mess up. And some of you may mess up badly. But dad will always love you. Because that's what our perfect Heavenly Father does. He will always love us. The perfect Heavenly Father. He's near and far. He knows his children. Complete integrity. Motivated by compassion and steadfast love. And when we fall short of these things, remember there's grace. We are not perfect earthly fathers, but this is the bar. This is what we want to shoot for. But you know, this bar is a lot more attainable when we say, I want to follow my Heavenly Father. Because really the imagery you want to have is I am following my Heavenly Father. And then you want to be able to look behind you and see those that God has entrusted to you saying, we're following Dad as he follows God. See, dads, if you purpose to follow Christ no matter what, and it's evident in every arena of your life, your kids will pick up on that. And that unspoken message is greater than any words you can say. And the good news is you don't need to be a super spiritual giant. You don't need to go to seminary or anything like that. It's a decision of the will to say, I will follow the Lord. And to say to those around you, let's go on this journey together. We're in it together. And your kids are going to see you trip up. They will see you mess up. But they'll also remember that you don't stay down. That you get right with God, you get right with those around you. When a child hears their father apologize for something he did wrong, that sticks. That's being a good dad. So guys, what you want to do is follow Christ. Follow him wholeheartedly with all you've got. And it's a decision you can make right now. Some of you might be saying, well, my kids are grown up, I've kind of missed that opportunity. Don't slump into discouragement. You can make that decision right now. Say, I'm going to follow the Heavenly Father. I will take that initiative. And just do it. Your kids will see it. Everyone wants a hero to follow. The ultimate hero is the Lord. But God is calling dads to be little heroes. Let's do it. The perfect father's family. What's the family like? The perfect father's family, just like an earthly family, kids don't earn it. There's not like this heavenly realm of little baby souls up there and they're saying, okay, I want to go in. Whoa, hey, he looks like a good dad. Oh, I want to go in that family. Doesn't happen. Being in the perfect father's family is not earned. Jesus said this in John chapter 1, verse 12. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You see, you get into the family of the perfect father by belief, by receiving Christ. You see, all of us as human beings, we fall short of God's standard of perfection. None of us are perfect. Yet so many of us think, well, the standard is goodness and I'm pretty good, but God says, no, the standard is perfect and you all fall short. There's nothing you can do to be perfect, which is a real problem for us. You can go to church all you want. You can be the best father here on earth, but that won't be good enough because we all have this thing in us called sin. And it's this inclination inside us where we want to do our own thing away from what God wants us to do. We want to be our own boss, do our own thing. That's sin. The problem there is the Bible said there's a death penalty associated with it, eternity separated from God. That's bad news. And you've got to come to terms with the bad news before the good news will make any sense. The good news is that your perfect heavenly Father is holy and can't have sin in his presence. And he says, world, I love you so much that I will send my son to die in your place. And the plan that the perfect Father had was to send his son, Jesus. He lived a perfect life here on earth. He died on the cross. And when he died, he took the judgment of God, the penalty that all of us deserve for our sin. And he said, I'll take it. And so that all who believe in me will have their sin forgiven. But the story didn't end there. 3 days after he hung on the cross, he rose from the dead. And in doing so, he proved that he was greater than death and greater than sin, and he was able to deliver and to be our Savior. And he just says, believe in me. Believe the gift that I've done for you. I've taken the judgment that you deserve, and not only have I taken the judgment, I will take my perfection. And the imagery the Bible uses is the royal robes that Jesus had get wrapped around all who come to him by faith. So that on the judgment day, the Heavenly Father looks and sees that we're wearing family clothing. It's Jesus' perfection. And he says, welcome home. That's the way the perfect Father becomes your Heavenly Father. But there's some amazing benefits to being in this family. In the Bible, it says this, Galatians chapter 3, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. This is amazing. We could be here all day looking at this. But I know you got Father's Day lunches to go to. So don't worry, we won't be. But this is amazing what God says here. In this passage alone, you see that in God's family, everyone is of equal worth. You know, we attach a value system to people when we look at them in our culture. Maybe it's their personality. We say, oh, this personality, that's a desirable one. Or, whoa, they make a lot of money. Or, hey, they're really talented. God didn't look at any of that. What matters is that you are found in Christ. You believe. All of the children are of equal worth. And then also, we are all equal heirs. You know, it's no mistake in the Bible where it says you are all sons of God. Well, you'd think that that would eliminate 50% of the population, but that's not the case. You see, when we come to Christ in faith, we are all declared sons so that we all inherit everything. In that day, the law of the land was that sons inherited it and daughters got nothing. And God in his wisdom says, I don't want any loser taking my Bible and twisting the language in it. So he says, when you come to faith in Christ, you're all sons. There's no debate, no argument. Everyone is equal. Everyone gets this incredible inheritance of a forever home with a perfect Father. That is what we look forward to, and that is what we live for. So on this Father's Day, take some time to reflect on the fact that God is the perfect Father. For all of us, God is worthy of our trust, and he is worthy of our worship. He is bigger than us, and he's able to see things that we can't see. Yet he's also right there with us. He is the CEO of the universe, yet we've got access to his lap anytime. It's amazing. This is our God. He is perfect. For dads in the room here, why don't you make your purpose, your plan, to say, you know, I am going to follow Christ. I am going to follow my Heavenly Father. And then say it to those around you and say, let's do it together. I'm not going to be perfect. I don't know all of the Bible upside down, inside out. But I am going to pursue God. And why don't you come with me? That'll be a generation of dads that raise a generation of kids that become world changers. And that's something worth doing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we thank you that it is an amazing privilege to call you our Heavenly Father. We could call you just the God who made the stars, but you're more than that. We could call you just the one who is near and close to us, but you're more than that. Lord, you are worthy of our trust and our worship. Lord, I pray for dads in this room that all would choose to follow you, and that we could turn around and say to those under our watch, follow me as I follow Christ. Lord, the Christian life, you know, is not about memorizing a bunch of rules or regulations or formulas or taking a class or this or that. It's about following you and doing it as family. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.